Don't bet against a better team at home. I don't care who died.
Three massages. Oh, this is
I can say at least one more time. You can't say stuff like this on podcasts, all right?
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Friday, December 4th, 2009, a mere one day before the game of the millennium. I'm your host, Adam Berry. Joining me today, we got three football writers. A nice improvement from just me and Kyle that we've been doing the last couple weeks or so. We got Bobby Colovi.
I'm excited for some chicken and waffles.
Phil Kegler.
I'm not ready.
For anything, just for life.
No. You're not even ready for chicken and waffles.
I'm not ready for anything.
And Kyle Maestri.
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Quack, 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 quack.
Go Ducks.
Nice. You always got me at the Go
no,
Ducks.
No, I got you with the Go Ducks. Trust me. If it's anything either related to the Mighty Ducks, if I can pull from there, you know I'm going to come through with it. As I said, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to spend quite a bit of time previewing the SEC Championship game taking place tomorrow in Atlanta. You guys are about to head up there as soon as we finish recording this. So let's just give a basic overview here. Two great defenses, okay offenses. What are we expecting in Atlanta? Brief overview. I'm looking at you, Bob.
I mean, thank you. I kind of realized you're looking at me. I saw your eyes. We made eye contact. Well, you pretty much wrapped it up. Great defenses, okay offenses.
Atlanta and Florida.
It might look,
Alabama and Florida.
In Atlanta. There we go. That's about it, really.
Football.
I mean,
there's
it might
involved.
Be.
Yes.
It might be somewhat like last year. Probably a defensive battle, and then it's going to be decided in the fourth quarter.
And you know who's going to make a difference in the fourth quarter, Bob?
Who's that?
Tim Tebow.
Who's that?
Tim.
No, seriously. That's a
Timothy Tebow.
Yeah, he'll throw a crucial interception, leading Alabama down the field.
Save for the Gator guarantees, Bob.
Won't be my Gator guarantee,
because
I'm picking UF to win.
All right, we'll save that for later then.
Anyway.
But seriously, the real talk this week.
Tim Tebow down the stretch in last year's fourth quarter was the stuff of legend, some might say. they led two fourth quarter drives, the two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to pull away from Alabama in a 31-20 win last year over the Crimson Tide. But in all honesty, like, Tim Tebow this year has kind of had an up and down year. There was the beginning of the year where he was a hindrance to his team. Then there was a period where he's just like game managing. He's looked a little bit better recently, but I'd probably look good against FSU's defense. So I think this week obviously will be the biggest test for Florida's offense, but it'll be interesting to see how Tebow plays.
David Nelson catches a touchdown. Is there going to be talk of like, David Nelson's just a big game receiver. He just does it in the big games.
He waits for those games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
they've been keeping him hidden. Like, David Nelson,
he's a trick play in himself.
He came into the,
David Nelson.
He came into the season as one of the only proven receivers. Just used finger quotes. But I figured it was necessary to tell him that.
If they
abandon him or Brandon James, Omarius can catch him in catches. He can do it. He's only four back.
Is he really?
With two games left.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is the big time.
Yeah, I agree.
Time for David Nelson to shine.
Yeah. So, anyway.
They've been saving him.
Yeah.
I was trying to get at that.
They do need to take Brandon James out of the offense. Maybe that'll be this
week. Well,
we've
been talking.
Billy Gonzalez says Brandon James is great.
He's doing exactly what I want.
I asked him, I was like,
hasn't he been
Coach,
a champion every
do you
every
need some more out of Brandon James? Maybe a little bit, need him to be better on kind of getting yards after the catch, since he never gets any yards after the catch. And he's like, no, Brandon's great. He just does what we ask of him. He's been doing great. He's awesome. You know, everything's fine. So
I'm afraid for the coaching, then, if he's doing exactly what they ask of him.
They ask him for 3 yard gains?
Yeah, he's averaging.
Yes, they do, boss.
He's averaging.
We don't want a big
a
play
catch.
Here. Please. No, don't try to do something special. Just get the 3 yards and go down.
He's averaging 9 yards a catch, which is 2 yards less than David Nelson per catch.
Wow.
Possession wide receiver.
Yeah, that's certainly saying something. Let's go ahead and get to sort of the biggest news item from this week. It's sort of one last distraction for Florida. It seems like they've had a ton of them going on this year. And it seemed like, you know, it was going to be a pretty easy week going into the SEC Championship game. And then Carlos Dunlap happened. He got arrested for, you know, somebody just break down the story for us real quick.
All right, well.
Go to our legal analyst.
Yeah, exactly.
Early Tuesday morning, Carlos Dunlap was at a stoplight asleep. And the police officer found this slightly odd, knocked on his window, tried to wake him up, couldn't rouse the big beast that is Carlos Dunlap.
Sleeping giant. Yeah. Couldn't rouse him.
And he failed field sobriety test, did not take a breathalyzer. And was booked on DUI charges at roughly 3:25 a.m.
That's why I went to Phil.
Yeah, you've got all the facts.
And so he was released later that day. He was obviously suspended for this game by Coach Urban Meyer.
You say obviously.
Well, not even thuggish behavior, yeah. Phil.
Meyer definitely, though, I think we're all in agreement, seemed pretty stunned, and I thought it was a pretty realistic expression later that day after practice. Like, no one really saw this coming, especially from a guy like Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, all right. Well, how does this affect the team going forward in the preparation, you know, and everything, and then obviously in the game?
I think it doesn't affect the team at all. I know I'm not going to get agreed with on that. It affected me as a journalist because they took away all our access, so I didn't get the players I needed for my feature.
You ruined my sleep Tuesday morning. Yeah. I was woken very early.
But I think Justin Trattow's really, really good. Like, much better than average, like more than capable of stepping in. He's been a difference maker already this year in, like, limited time. So I don't think the drop-off's going to be huge. The problem is, like, who's going to be that third end now? Like, who plays Justin Trattow now? Some kind of contribution from Jay Howard that they wouldn't normally get, or, you know, I don't know who else.
William Green.
No, I'm not going to say
remember
William Green.
Remember that name.
He's not going to do anything.
We'll see. You just wait. Defensive MVP.
I agree with it. I think there's not a – I wouldn't even say have a drop-off, but there's certain things that, like, the defense just doesn't look – it's not as good, but there's certain things Trattow can't do that Dunlap can. But Trattow's more than like
fall asleep at a green light.
Yeah, fall asleep at a green light. Trattow would never do that. He's a coach.
True.
But Trattow's an extremely hard worker. There's nothing but good things that come out of the coach's mouth about him, and I think he'll fill in very well for the Gators. Also, they've played without some of their best players. I mean, they've played 3 games without Brandon Spikes and won all of them. And Brandon Spikes is a lot more important than Carlos Dunlap because he can do a lot more than what Dunlap.
Some national analyst said this is as important as if Alabama would have lost Rolando McClain,
their
All-American linebacker. It's just a perfect example of somebody who doesn't watch the team. Yeah. Like, you just don't watch the team every week. You have no idea, like, who's good, who's not, who makes the biggest impact.
But he's on the big board, Kyle.
Right, yeah.
He took a huge drop. He went from 3 down to 17.
Which is stupid.
He's going to have to answer some questions. People aren't going to – he does take a little bit. He's not going to be top five anymore.
Well, we all know the NFL doesn't take behavior problems, right, guys? It's ridiculous.
And by all accounts, he's like a – he actually is a high character guy. Yeah. Like, I know this isn't a high character thing, but like, everybody's allowed a mistake. And honestly, like, everybody that I've talked to, like athletes and everything, have just said, like, he never goes out and parties. Like, this is totally out of character for him. And I'm sure if he's remorseful, like, there are much worse guys that are going to be drafted in the top 10 to 15. So I expect him to bounce back for this. I honestly feel bad for the kid, and I hope everything works out okay for him.
I want to come back to how it affects him on the field, though, because I feel like you're also underselling it a little bit. Like, teams had to double-team him and then, you know, like, free up Cunningham. You don't have to double-team Justin Trattow, do you?
Teams have to double-team everybody on the Gators. I mean, everybody's a threat. Like, somebody's going to draw a double-team now. It's not as big of a deal. Jermaine Cunningham is almost, if not as good as
no, I agree with that. But then you can double team him.
Right,
it's less
right.
of a
free up Trattow. That's fine as long as someone's not getting double teamed. I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, the defensive line coach Dan McCarty was actually asked about that. If he was worried that, like, all of a sudden Cunningham would all see these kinds of double teams, and he was like, great,
yeah,
exactly that, like, yeah. Free up Trattow. Like, right. I mean, he listed all of his guys because he likes to say they're all good,
right.
but you know.
Okay.
Last season, Cunningham was getting a lot of the double teams, you know, early on, because when they entered the season, he was the only proven defensive end. He was the star defensive end. So that's why Carlos Dunlap had a pretty good year last year.
Yeah.
It's because it was Cunningham getting the double teams. This year, it switched over to Dunlap because obviously he's a little bit more of a freak than Cunningham is.
I'm going to say something ridiculous.
You go right ahead.
Do.
Everything you say is.
Is this suspension going to be a blessing in disguise because Alabama loves to run the ball? They have great running backs. They're predicated on the run.
Yeah.
And supposedly, Justin Trattow, better against the run than Carlos Dunlap.
Well, it's a blessing in disguise because now...
Surprise!
Give me a joke.
It's early.
It's 11.
Because... Easy, Bob. Because
blessing in disguise,
Urban Meyer
yes.
can now say it's the Gators versus the world, and everybody just hates on them.
Well, yeah, it just gives them more motivation as if they needed it.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a little bit of that. I'm never going to say that the Gators are better off without Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of addition by subtraction, but what you say is a good point. Like,
yeah,
he's better against the run, and Alabama will run the ball most of the time, so Dunlap's skills as a pass rusher maybe not as important against the Crimson Tide as it would have been.
Yeah, I don't really think, like, I wouldn't, like, take Carlos Dunlap out if I had the choice.
Like, I wouldn't play him. Coach's decision.
Yeah, I mean, if it were me, I was sitting Carlos Dunlap this game anyway. So, no big deal.
They told him beforehand. They said, listen, we're going to sit you because we want to stop the run. Like, we're going to take a lot of heat if we just sit you. So, you need to do something that gets you suspended.
I want
to
talk about the most ridiculous theory that we heard all week. Oh, God. I don't know where this came from. One of the other writers is telling us. Carlos Dunlap, who never goes out to drink, allegedly... But I do believe that, goes out and gets drunk because Urban Meyer told the team he was leaving for Notre Dame. Oh. And he was just so broken up about it that he turned to the bottle.
I mean, Dunlap was so upset that
despite the fact Dunlap won't be here next year.
He was so upset that Urban Meyer will not be here when he's in the NFL that he couldn't take it.
He's a Gator through and through. All right?
And only Dunlap was emotionally affected by this. Everybody else, no. They just took it back, went back to their apartments. Dunlap went out.
They just have a special bond that none of the other guys have.
Just to kind of show like how surprising this was, Palm Beach Post's Ben Volen talked to his dad. And his dad was quoted saying, "I still can't believe it. I'm still waiting for someone to wake me up. He's the one that kept me grounded all my life. He's always been the one that wanted to tell everyone what not to do. He's what not to do and lead by example. He's not the kid you saw in the paper. He's still a great kid. Somewhere, something went wrong." So clearly his dad is just being up by this. So, I mean, yeah, your dad's obviously going to be upset, but just... The man just seems heartbroken right now.
Said it once, I said it 1,000 times. Someone tried to date rape Carlos Dunlap. That's a story. I'm sticking to it.
So many conspiracy theories on this podcast.
He just wants to own up to his, I can't admit this. Just happened.
All right, is this affecting the team's preparation at all or anything? Is the distractions good for them, if anything?
This
more
is
hype?
Just another distraction in the season of nonsense, as has referred to it on occasion. But no, I don't think it's really affected the team. The coaches said that, not like they would say otherwise, but I mean, we wouldn't know because we haven't been able to talk to players since this happened.
We tried it. We had a chance to talk to players. Ryan Stamper came out, as gracious he is. We were told, don't ask any questions about Carlos Dunlap. Players don't want to talk about Carlos Dunlap. Second question in, one reporter decides, I know you don't want to talk about it, but how are you handling the Carlos Dunlap? He's quickly pulled away. No player ever comes out again. Ever.
The gates were shut.
All right, well, that's the defense. Let's just talk about the offense a little bit. Phil, you wrote a column in today's paper saying there's a lot of pressure on Florida's offense in this game. You want to talk about that and why it's so?
Yeah, I said I think Florida's offense will determine whether or not the Gators win or lose this game. I said because the defense is going to be great. It's shown week in, week out. It's great. But the point I was really trying to make is that the defense deserves a good showing by the offense. Like, for 12 games, the offense could have gone out and scored, two touchdowns and probably one, and every week the defense went out there and battled and saved them when the offense was turning the ball over every play the beginning of the season. This one comes down to the offense because Alabama has a really good defense too. There's not going to be as big a discrepancy between Florida's defense and Alabama's defense as normal between Florida's defense and an opposing defense. So they're not going to get that big edge that they usually do. And I think it's on Tim Tebow and the offense to finally score some points. They said that, they've fixed things and how early in the season, things just had a click and it was turnovers in the red zone. I do think that they're better in the red zone now than they were. Between not turning the ball over, they have executed a little bit better. But I think it comes down to you have to score touchdowns, not field goals, and it's on you guys.
I mean, I agree. Both defenses are going to be great. Both defenses are coming up with stops. It's going to be whichever offense can figure out how to score against that defense. Because in the end, I mean, the defenses, although both defenses have been good at scoring points for their offenses, there's not going to be only defensive scoring. You've got to score some on offense. Whichever team can figure out a way to break down the defense, even if it's only two or three drives of the entire game, but they get points on those two or three drives, then they'll still win the game because those defenses will stop you. They're not going to let up much points. You have to figure out a way to score.
Well, you said Florida's defense deserves a good outing from the offense. Felicia Pearson, you might know her better as Snoop from The Wire, once said, deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. that's what I feel about this situation. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. Like, yeah, the offense should step up, but they're just going to be the same offense we've seen all year. But I think what it will come down to is big plays. No, I'm serious, though, because both defenses are so good. So if you just hit one or two big plays, that's going to make a difference in the game. You know, we all expect it to be tight. So literally whoever makes, I think, more big plays will win. Florida's really struggled to make big plays against good teams, SEC opponents this year that don't have like an FIU or FSU as their name. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I just think that's going to be the determiner. If they can get one big run from Jeff Demps, that's going to help them out a lot.
What about Alabama's big play potential against?
Yeah, I mean,
also in the run game for them, or Julio Jones.
Or Julio Jones. Yeah. It's kind of, I almost give them an advantage because they got two great running backs. And so it's Florida.
They got
Greg
McElroy, though.
Yeah, they do get McElroy. But Julio Jones makes him look a little bit better.
Are you saying that Alabama has better offensive weapons than Florida?
I'm not saying maybe
putting
that has
on the spot, Bob.
You know what? See, I think Florida's running backs have a little bit of advantage. No. The three total, I think, give you more of an advantage for a big play than Mark Ingram.
Probably.
And since that's what
Mark
we're
Ingram
really
is averaging 6.5 yards a carry.
Yeah. Yes, but
he did break off like a 70-yard run a couple weeks ago.
All right, regardless of big play though, whose running backs would you rather have? If we were given like an edge to one team, if we were doing like the old school matchup graphic we used to do.
I mean, I'll take Alabama's running backs, obviously.
Yeah,
so but
you're right. The Florida's running backs are speedier. So.
Yeah.
So you think of them as bigger play guys.
I think they are, though.
You know about my man crush with Trent Richardson. I love that guy. His calves are huge. I say it every time. The man's got huge calves.
All right.
It's hard to bring down.
That's going
to
win games.
Yeah. And Julio Jones is just a monster. I'll take Julio Jones over every single... I mean, all of them combined. All of you ever receivers combined.
I was like, I'll take him over.
If you tell me I can play five receivers or just Julio Jones... I'm going to take just Julio Jones.
All right, well, he'll have four people guarding him.
That's fine. He has a better chance of catching the ball than U.S. wide-open receivers when they drop it.
Do you think Florida has better weapons?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Because they don't.
Yeah.
they have the edge at tight end and quarterback.
Yeah,
wide receiver and
right. The quarterback, I think, helps them, though, because it's the guy who's getting them.
No difference.
Saying, like, it gives it, like, more of an edge than just, like, the difference between Tebow and McElroy, because, like, that's the guy who's giving up the ball, even though, at times, Tebow's decision-making a little questionable.
I was going to say, for Tebow, it's the guy not giving up the ball.
Yeah, but going back to big plays also, I think it works on, like, the defense side of the ball, too, because anytime you can force or, like, you know, I sound like Urban Meyer, but it's like field position literally is going to be huge here. Like, anytime an offense gets a short field, like, you know, they only got to go from the 40 on or, like, midfield, like, you have to score because, like, going, like, 80, 90 yards on these defenses is near impossible.
Mm-hmm. I know this hasn't been talked about much, but I was just thinking about it. And Terrence Cody doesn't make very many tackles, and UF's inside guys, now that they move Carl Johnson, all big guys that can will be able to double-team him pretty well. But I think he makes a huge difference in this game because just him alone is going to make it hard to run inside.
Yeah.
But having him, obviously, but he frees it up to let some of the linebackers cover the outside more, keeping the running game up the middle where he's going to be all game.
All right. This is going to be another situation like the Justin Tratow Dunlap thing where Florida lucks into something. It's like, they have Terrence Cody up the middle, so Steve Adazio is not going to run the dive 15 times.
I was just going to say, over under 10 dive plays.
Maybe this forces Steve Adazio to run the ball on the edge.
What I'm saying is that him being there
gives
Alabama more room to have players go into the outside to stop.
Do you think they'll
him.
Run away from him, like, intentionally?
I think they'll try somewhat, but it's going to be... I think Alabama's obviously going to use him to their advantage and have him just clog up the middle as much as possible.
Just lay down.
That way they're in a true 3-4 for the most part, so they'll be able to have those outside linebackers coming almost every play and making sure that it's hard to get on the outside and forcing them to run right at the, you know, Mount Cody.
All right, so silly non-football expert question here. Possibly somebody will be like me. So to run away from Cody, you have to run outside, right? Like, can you block him, like, to a side and run up the middle?
Run off
tackle.
He's 400 pounds. So you don't just move him where you want.
Since they have a three-man front,
they're
going
to have to double-team him in order to move him.
Okay.
And even that's not easy. Like, he's really good. Like,
no, I mean,
he
I
does
understand.
Exactly what
man.
You want to have your defensive tackle.
Be fat.
He doesn't do anything, really. Like, he's not going to penetrate much. He's going to sit there and hold his ground.
Yeah.
And that's all you need from your defense tackle. Not to get moved. If he gets moved, game's over. Florida wins easily. But if he just holds his ground, it makes everything around them so much tougher, because they're going to have to put two people on him. And if two people can't move him, they've just wasted a blocker.
How fast is Alabama's defense? Because I know we talked earlier in the year, like, Florida struggled running to the outside against quicker linebackers, especially safeties who could come in. Is that going to be a problem if they're forced to go to the outside? They're not going to be able to do what they're used to?
Alabama's defense is fast, but there's always Jeff Dems and Chris Rainey are faster. Right. So it's all about being able to,
I wasn't going to say they were going to lose in a foot race.
Well, yeah, you got to be able to get all of your blockers out there and give them time to set up blocks. Because, I mean, obviously outside linebackers, especially in a 3-4, have the advantage, have a lead, right, you know, a head start to the corner. So if you're just doing a straight foot race to that corner, the linebackers are usually going to win. But the key is you want to somehow take advantage, like get a blocker out there, or try and just leave, block the defensive end, leave one linebacker and run the option. That way he has to pick either I'm going to take out Tebow or I'm going to take out or take out Dempster Rainey.
Well, I'm wondering if in the first 12 games, Tebow Dazio finally figured out that he should try to get his ball to playmakers in space on the sides, throw those little swing passes, little screen passes.
He's only
I legitimately...
He brings it to the stadium and puts it in play. He's like buffing it on the sidelines in between plays. Like, don't lose this, guys. I only got one.
Steve, like, scrawled on it.
Sorry, guys.
I feel you're making
Steve and Dazio in Sharpie.
Phil, you were stumbling toward a point there.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Then we tripped you.
Fine. Anyway, UF's running backs got the edge like pretty much whenever they wanted against FSU, which FSU is the worst defense of all time, so that's probably more about them. But were they doing something different?
Well,
Bob,
one of the
is
big
FSU
things,
just so bad?
I'm not a huge fan of it, but they've kind of figured it out this season some, and it's that tight end shovel pass.
Yeah.
That helps so much on their option plays, because on that first time they ran it, if you watch FSU's defense, they have the option covered. They get out there. UF is not running that option play. But since they all over pursued to get to the outside and make sure they don't get to the corner, they dump it off to Aaron Hernandez inside, and he has a huge lane. So after that, Alabama's defense from there on, we're making sure that they don't get burnt with that play again. So you're now leaving the outside a little bit more free.
Yeah, I wrote this in my column that Alabama was the victim of devastating shovel pass last year.
Oh.
But no, it seemed like the go-to. I'm like, yeah, I swear it was like third and long, and it was just, oh, we're going to shovel it to Hernandez up the middle, and Alabama's defense will never react to it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you make a good point that it might put more people on the outside, but there's got to be a way to, like, shut down options.
I mean, the big thing is when they're running that, they're taking away, they're leaving the end in the linebacker.
Right.
They want those two to pick. There's three people to pick.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to pick two. So, and everyone else is getting blocked in.
I'll pick everyone except Tim Tebow. Make Tim Tebow run the ball.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you're blocking all the inside guys even further away. So it creates that lane up the middle for Aaron Hernandez. Whereas if those two guys go outside, then that's even more open in the middle.
All right, I'm going to say, this is going to be a bold prediction, Alabama shuts down the shovel.
Yeah.
I think everything is like, all right, they're the best coach team in the nation. If they don't shut down the shovel, they're not as well coached as...
Best coach team in the nation. You just put them above Urban Meyer?
I'm saying that's what people have been saying.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree, but that's what's been out there this week. But anyway, if you watch them on film, like we've all said, that's like their go-to player right now. It's like, just have somebody mark Hernandez. You can't spy Hernandez. Like,
right. There's got to be a linebacker, especially with four linebackers.
Right.
Aren't you going to put one?
I think they will. I think they're smart, and I think it's not going to work as well. Or it'll be a situation where it's going to have to be Tebow or the option back who's going to have to take the ball there. Because I think they're going to make a concerted effort to have somebody, stay with Hernandez at all times.
That has to happen.
I mean, the big thing is that since they're not blocking an ender, since they're not blocking the end, in this case they won't block probably the outside linebacker and the middle linebacker since it's a 3-4, they let them go. So those guys, if one of them's the spy, it's leaving open the option play. If it's got to be like one of the backside linebackers
right,
on the first play,
there,
and then they're coming across and the tackle is probably coming for them. So since there's a lineman coming at him, it's a lot harder just to, like, they're going to have to avoid the blocker.
Right.
That's a big thing, is they can't get blocked. It's easier said than done, but that's a big thing.
You're definitely right about that because, Hernandez pulls from the other side all the way across the formation. So it's kind of hard for, like, the side where he's going to end up for that, the, like, defense on that side to see him coming or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're going to have to talk out there, I guess. Like, I don't know. There's got to be some way to do this. I just know if you know what play they're going to run seven times a game, there has to be some way to do this. I don't coach defense, but somebody on Alabama does, and Nick Saban, I think, will figure it out.
Somebody mentioned the thing about wanting Tebow to carry the ball earlier. There was something on ESPN this week, I think, where they interviewed four.
Trash.
Yeah. They interviewed four SEC coaches who said that's the game plan. That's how you beat Florida. You make Tim Tebow carry the ball. Somebody want to talk about that and how, if that's ridiculous or not?
Well, yeah, I mean, my short take on it is Tim Tebow can beat you, but he's not going to beat you as quickly as everyone else is the thing. Like, it's a slow, drawn-out death. No, that's the thing. It's like, I would probably want Tim Tebow to beat me too because Tim Tebow's not going to break off like 50-yard runs unless you have a complete defensive breakdown.
FSU.
You know,
I,
like,
I think he did it the last two games, but I mean, neither
okay.
one counts.
Anyway, my
neither
point,
one
you know,
counts.
Yeah, if I had to pick
wrong,
two
Phil.
Options and the triple option to take out, I'd want to stop Hernandez and stop the outside guy and let Tim run for 7 yards, you know, five. He's not going to do it every time, but like I would want to force Tim Tebow to run the ball 25 times, which he seems to like to do anyway. Take all the punishment and see if he can be their whole running game.
What they probably should do is, especially since Tebow doesn't have the breakaway speed, so if you get him the ball, he's not going to be like, I mean, if you get Rainey the ball and it's a foot race, he's winning, or Dems. But if you take to your outside linebacker, you know, you've got running back, you're on him. If you see the option, just sprint out there. You tell your inside linebacker now, like, take off his inside shoulder, but you're looking for that shovel pass. And just tell your strong safety or free safety, you see option, you're sprinting down and you're taking Tebow. Because even if he doesn't get there in time to break the line of scrimmage, he's able to get there in time to stop Tebow for a 2-3 yard gain.
Yeah.
But he's got to make the tackle. And that's the problem, is now you put in a safety to make a tackle on Tebow, which hasn't always been successful. I mean, Eric Berry, he took a pretty devastating hit. I mean, it was an equal hit, but the fact that Eric Berry wasn't able to win it without any problems kind of shows how tough he is. So you need that safety to make the tackle, or at least be able to hold him up. He can't just get run over.
One thing about the coaches saying all that, I think, like, if somebody would have asked a follow-up, or if they would have written this, probably in the spirit in which it was intended, like, you want Tim Tebow to run it on, like, 2nd and 10.
Yeah.
And, like, first and 10. Like,
right.
I bet if you ask them, okay, if you could put the ball in Tim Tebow's hand on 3rd and 2 or anyone else on Florida, what would you like? They'd say, I'd like somebody else to carry the ball.
Right.
Like,
please.
And if they don't, then they're stupid. But, like, I think what they meant by that is, like, we want him carrying the ball an excess amount of times where he's running it in downs that don't really help them. You know, 1st and 10, 2nd and 10, 3rd and long, you know, whatever those type of situations are. That's when you want him carrying the ball because it's hard for him to get, you know, 10, 15 yards easily. But, I mean, when it's short yardage, he's a beast. And, you know, that's everyone's game plan. That's Florida's game plan, too, is get him the ball there. But, you know, Florida hasn't done a good job of taking the ball out of his hands in those other downs, the non, you know, Tebow running downs. And I think that's hurt him this year.
I was going to say, what they want him to do is exactly what he did a lot at the beginning of this year. So it's going to come down to, has his decision-making improved, and is he going to, you know, is he going to find a better option on those plays?
Well, they've always got that dive play they can go back to.
Mm-hmm. Old faithful.
Just run Dempsey Rainey up the middle for 1.5 yards.
Yeah, the wheel has changed. It used to be like Harvin left. Now it's like dive left, dive right, shovel pass to Hernandez, and Tebow left and Tebow right.
And if you call pass, still Tebow left and Tebow right.
Spin the wheel.
All right, let's take a look at some specific matchups you're going to see on Saturday. Go around the room and see who's going to get the edge. We'll start with Joe Hayden and Janoris Jenkins, Florida starting corners, versus Julio Jones. Bob?
I love all three of them.
Yeah.
This is tough.
This is it's like picking between your favorite
kids. There's no
pushes.
I'll go Joe Hayden gives up some, Janoris gives up none.
So?
Who do you give the edge to?
I guess Janoris and Julio.
No, Bob. Not how
this
works.
The Florida corners versus Julio
All right,
Jones.
I'll take the Florida corners. They're too good.
Dang it.
As will I.
Julio Jones.
Florida corners for me.
Sweep.
Yep, clean sweep. All right, Tim Tebow versus Rolando McClain, Alabama linebacker.
I'll go McClain.
Well, we all know how I feel about Tim Tebow. I think he's going to be the game changer. He's going to be the X factor.
Can you Tebow be an X factor when you're expecting so much out of him?
I'll take McClain, and I think Tebow has a brutal game. I think he has like 20 rushes for like 40 yards, and like, but he like punches in a couple touchdowns or something, like
400 yards,
or he like converts a big like third down. Something will happen where like he makes one or two plays, but I think for the most part he's just bottled up all game.
I agree. I give the edge to McClain. I think Tebow gets sacked a bunch of times.
Oh yeah.
I think he has a ton of runs for 1 yard. It's like you said, it's going to be a brutal game for Tebow. I'll give the edge to McClain. Next one. Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson versus UF linebackers Ryan Stamper and Brandon Spikes.
UF linebackers.
Really like Florida's linebackers, but by an inch going Alabama running backs.
I'm not picking against Ryan Stamper.
Yep,
he's my boy. I'm gonna have to pick against him.
I give it to Stamper.
He's
Spikes.
So smart. He's gonna outthink everyone.
So intellectual out there. I'm gonna give it to Stamper. Dad, Coach Stamp. I'm gonna give it to Stamper and Spikes. And the next one is Terrence Cody versus the law firm running the middle of UF's interior line, Pouncey Pouncey and Johnson. Bob.
Dunlap probably called that after the whole incident.
That's who represented Dunlap, Pouncey Pouncey and Johnson, attorneys at law.
You bet he didn't call him before that incident.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have given him a ride. I'll go with Mount Cody. Yeah.
Kegs?
This one's tough for me. Like, the offensive line has like seemingly played a lot better lately, especially once Carl Johnson moved inside. I mean, I'm still worried about Xavier Nicks on the outside, but that's not in this matchup. I'll go Terrence Cody.
It's just a personal concern for him.
I don't feel great, though.
Okay.
Well, we have three people against two in this matchup, and I'm going to take Cody. I just think he's a special kind of fat that you just don't see every day, and you can't simulate that weight in practice, as one of the Pouncies was saying earlier this week.
They asked Omar Hunter to put on weight so he could.
I just don't.
It's a world-class fat.
You only get Terrence Cody once a year, and you're just not prepared for the amount of weight he's bringing to the game.
Yeah,
so.
I'm gonna say Cody as well. I think, you know, even if they stop him a little bit, he's such a force. Like, you have to put so much into stopping him that frees up something else, and I think that gives the edge to Cody. Also, I'd be curious to see what he does in the kicking game, because I feel like what he did against Tennessee.
Yeah, he's a punt return threat.
In the kick blocking game. Obviously what I meant.
No one wants to see that fat Jalen again.
No, God, I couldn't stand to see him running toward blocking a kick.
He's got some quickness.
He almost hurt himself.
Got a little agility. But yeah, he blocked two kicks against Tennessee. That made a difference. Florida's kicking game
has been. That could have been their South Carolina moment.
Yeah. I don't think Terrence Cody hurt is different than Terrence Cody healthy. He's not going to move either way. As long as he can literally just get out there and kind of...
Still taking up space.
Yeah.
All right, another one, a little fun one. Punt return game. Is it Javier Arenas?
Yeah.
Javier Arenas versus Brandon James.
I'm going to go with a very unpopular pick probably here. I'm going Brandon James, and it has nothing to do with Brandon James. I'm picking him.
No, this is fair.
I'm picking him because Chad Henry is a great punter, and he's going to limit Javier Arenas. Plus, their coverage team is so good that I don't think Arenas is going to be able to do much, whereas James is going to do a little bit, which is better than nothing.
Yeah, Bob makes good points. Florida's allowed all of, like, 5 punt return yards or something. But I think... that they'll each get like 1 punt to return, and I think Arenas will do much better.
Yeah, so there'll be a lot of punts, just not many.
Right, yeah, I mean, yeah, like the other ones will be out of bounds or fair caught or something.
I got a few questions before I answer this. Is this only punt return we're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, we're not talking about hitting as a cornerback versus.
No. Does Arenas return kicks?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so are we including that, or are we just saying punt?
We can retroactively include that if you guys
are. I'm sticking with mine.
I agree with Bob. Like, I'm not.
I agree with Bob on the punt return.
Like Stamper, Chad Henry's my boy. I'm not going to pick against him. But I think maybe Arenas can make a play or two in the kick return game where Brandon James will, you know, dance around like a clown out there and get taken down. He also, Brandon James really, like, every kick return goes down the same way. Like, dance around. Somebody grabs hold of him, and he doesn't go down right away, and he just struggles to wiggle free, and he can't. And then eventually, like, 5 seconds later, he gets...
Also, there's absolutely going to be a kick out of bounds by Caleb Sturgis.
Because, like, you can bet that.
Yeah, because Meyer's going to try and do some weird stuff to, like, not give it to Arenas, and he's going to kick out of bounds.
Possibly the opening kickoff. I don't know. Like, something. It's going to set, like, a horrible tone for the game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Florida defense is like, really?
No,
really.
It's going to be, like, a momentum. It's not going to shift momentum in the game. It's going to be, like, they just did something good. Like, they just scored a touchdown. And it's, like, seemingly going their way. And then just the equalizer comes in. Caleb Sturgis just boots it out of bounds.
All right, I'm going to go with Arenas as well. And then the last one, the biggest one, Nick Saban versus Urban Meyer.
Oh, man. This is the toughest one so far.
It's like saying who's going to win.
It is. That's what I...
Ponder on this one.
Yeah, I'm pondering. Can I choose Charlie Strong?
Nope.
Oh.
No. Was he in the question, Bob?
I was hoping that I could get a C here. Answer C, in case anyone's wondering.
Options A or B, Bob took C.
So you're way out of this conversation, Bob?
We have to skip
you knew this
you?
Question was coming.
I know, but I wasn't prepared for Nick Saban. Go!
All right, well, Bob the clown. I'll go with the best coach in college football, Urban Meyer.
All right, well, depends on what we're talking about, sort of. But from when the whistle blows at the beginning of the game, when the whistle blows at the end of the game, I'm taking Nick Saban because I think he plays a better, cleaner game plan than Urban Meyer when they're on the field in between the lines. But preparation, I don't know.
Motivation.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know.
This is what's going on in my mind.
Here's my theory. I'm going to take Saban. Ooh. If you gave Meyer a month, like, to prepare it and do some weird crap, I'd take him over Saban. But since it's only a week, and since I think the majority of the coaching, not the majority of the coaching, but a lot of the in-game coaching is going to matter, I'll take Saban.
If you told me that Urban Meyer was going to call all the plays and not Adazio, I think I'd take Urban Meyer. But I see, like, he's got more effect on the offense. I think UF's offense isn't going to have, like, a lot of answers for Alabama's defense. It's going to be all Charlie Strong that's doing the good coaching. So I'm going to say
usual.
Nick Saban. Yeah, I'm going to say Nick Saban has the better game plan. Like, is going to do the better coaching job over Urban Meyer. Doesn't mean I'm picking Alabama.
For all we know, Urban Meyer is already calling all the offensive plays.
I hope he is.
We'll never know.
Scott Leffler from the booth.
I'm going to round this one up. I'll take Meyer as well, just for all the motivation stuff going into it. Yes. Split vote. So that's.
I like that. I've been picking Saban, but I'm going to pick UF to win. And I'm not going to ruin yours, but I just did.
Well, I guess you are going to ruin his then.
Start it up.
That's fine. We're going to move right into this. This is what we came for, guys. Score predictions.
Yeah. And me and Barry coming off a very strong week.
Oh, yeah.
Score prediction.
The best of weeks. We're combined 10 points off.
That's
so, guys, you cannot screw this up for us.
Is that sarcastic,
all I do
Bill?
Is strip. No, that is impressive. What did you guys say for last week?
I don't even remember. I was five points off. He was 5 points off.
I mean, yeah, I believe you.
I said, I can recreate this. What was the final score? I said 34-12.
Oh, wow.
So I missed by five. Barry missed by five and some other stuff.
I said 38-6.
So
good job, guys.
Combined 10 points off.
We killed it.
Mine's gonna be a little strange. I'm gonna pick UF 24-13. The last touchdown's gonna be a late. It's gonna be somewhat like last year, a real late touchdown to end the game, pretty much for it. And so it's a nice 11-point spread covering.
All right, I've gone back and forth on this game other times for a while. I wanted to say it was gonna be like 9-6. But I've been talked out of that a little bit,
but hyperbole lost out.
It's
going to be a 3-2 game, I swear.
Well, I think Flores Evans will play great, and so Alabama's, but Flores Evans will set up Florida's offense just enough. I've got 17-6, Florida.
Okay.
All right. All right, Kyle. Do us proud.
I'm going to have Florida winning by more than 5.5 points. I'm going to say... God dang it. All right, 20-13. Enjoy. 20-13. And I'm going to say, I'm going to go one further on Phil's. Say the defense scores one.
Ooh. Pick six?
Very possible. I'm not going to say half.
That could have been your gator
guarantee.
I withhold my advantage. Play the fifth.
All right. Well, I'm going to be outrageous here. Alabama's winning. Score will be 23-17, Alabama.
All right, that's far from outrageous.
17.
The promise is crushed, Barry.
Yeah, Florida has not lost a game since the promise.
22?
Until Saturday. Oh. Until Saturday.
All
Phil.
You parents out there, tell your children Tim Tebow never broke a promise. You shouldn't either.
All right, well, let's wrap the show up with our Gator guarantees. And since this is the SEC Championship Game Preview podcast, we're going to do a big. We're going to make a Gator guarantee and an outrageous guarantee. We'll start with Bob with the Gator guarantee.
My Gator guarantee is that Trada will step up big time in this one, and he will record 2 sacks.
Nice.
At least.
Wow. Nice, Bob.
That's all right. Nice. Well, you guys are going to think that
this is
my outrageous one, but just my normal Gator guarantee. Tim Tebow, more than 275 total yards.
More than 275 total yards. You think that's outrageous?
I don't think
that's what he averages. Probably less than what he averages.
Against Alabama's defense. Okay, great. That's my Gator guarantee.
I couldn't be less outraged by that. Yeah. In fact, I think that's weak.
So you should never say something's going to be outrageous because you always just disappoint.
That's 175 yards passing and 100 yards on the ground. Okay.
I mean, he's not going to get 100 yards on the ground, but...
I mean, it's not...
He might run the ball 40 times.
All right, more than 325.
There we go.
There we go. Attaboy, Kegs.
350.
Yeah, 325 is good.
365, Terrence Cody's weight. Do it.
He'll get 325. Come on. I wish you would have said it like that. I'm going to go over 365, Terrence Cody's weight.
All right, Kyle, Gator guarantee.
All right, my first, the not outrageous Gator guarantee, I'm going to say Florida blocks a kick or a punt. Because you know those stats?
Solid.
They block the kick or the punt.
Oh, it's a win. We just stopped playing the game.
You just stopped playing the game right there. They got to make a big play somewhere, so they will block some sort of kick.
Mm. That would be interesting. They haven't done that as much this year, but it would be big.
All right, my Gator guarantee, I'm going to say...
What if Tratow does it?
With the arm with the torn bicep or whatever. Throws it up there. All right, my guarantee is going to be that Tebow throws two interceptions, and I think they're early on. I think he is good in the fourth quarter, but I think he throws like one in the first, one
like
in the
national
second.
National championship game style.
Exactly, yeah. He
loses you the first half.
Yeah, and then comes back and doesn't win you the second half because, you know, I don't have him winning. But he's going to play out of his mind
your,
the second half.
Your Gator guarantee helps my outlandish one. I'm going to say that Tim Tebow pretty much takes himself out of the Heisman race. And so does Mark Ingram. After this game, neither one are going to be can win the Heisman from theirs. Of course, Toby.
I mean, yeah, Toby should win it anyway.
Florida's defense is going to make Greg McElroy feel like Troy Smith. Got less than 75 passing yards for Greg McElroy.
Nice. Wow. That's good. That's what I'm talking about, Kegs.
Nice.
Talking about.
Exact opposite reaction from the crowd.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for this? This is a good one. Okay. Tim Tebow is going to throw an interception on the shovel pass to Hernandez a la Chris Leak.
And still win!
That's good. That's good, right?
That's quality. All right. My outrageous guarantee.
Oh, wait. We didn't tell the listeners.
Oh, that's right. I'll give mine, and then we'll say what's at stake here. I'm going to say that Florida scores a touchdown. All right. It's going to be on a trick play, a receiver or running back pass.
Okay.
Florida's going to score a touchdown
on
a trick play like that. It's going to go down like that. And the reason we're all so into this.
Also, that happened in an SEC championship game, right?
06, right?
Yeah, same game.
Yeah. Oh, such precedent set for this.
History.
Maybe Wandy will recover a punt in the end zone? Do a little dance? Oh, man, that'd be exciting.
So much to look forward to in this game. All right, go ahead and explain what's on the line here for
this. Every week, we take a trip to CCG, California Chicken Grill.
If you haven't eaten there, you need to go eat right now.
Yeah, 1:30 in the morning.
Yep.
So this week, if anybody hits their outrageous Gator guarantee, we're gonna buy them CCG. The other three of us, it's like a $2.50 hit for everyone.
What if multiple hit?
They both get it, and the other two have to pony up $8. Yeah.
Oh man, I hope three get it and one misses out.
I hope everybody but Phil gets there. So I'm just gonna be honest here.
Sure.
We all have the lock, so thanks. You can make your $2.50 checks out right now.
Also, regarding CCG, they've smaller their portion size, and we need outrage. Need people to go complain. We need them back to the bigger size. Let's do it, people. All 10 of you, go complain.
I'm gonna write a letter
to who?
The corporate headquarters of CCG.
Dear California Chicken Grill, I'm very upset.
Mr. Grill.
Sincerely, Phil Kegler.
Best, for sure.
All right, I got one last just interesting question. Not very interesting, probably.
He's gonna make
do you think game will live up to all the hype?
Oh, man. I think people don't like defensive struggles, so people are going to be bored for a while. And like I said, I'm just going to wait for the fourth quarter for a football game to break out, and that's when people are going to remember it by.
All right. I think the hype's been pretty in check, actually, this whole week or since the matchup's been established. Because now, if you remember the Ohio State-Michigan game at the end of 2006, you couldn't get away from that. It was out of control. It was already the game of the century in 2006. And it was just like everyone was just going nuts for that game. Like, it was the biggest game in the history of forever, and I couldn't take any more coverage. This game, I don't feel like, has nearly approached that. Maybe because the matchup was set so early that you've had like a month to digest it. But I think it hasn't been overhyped, in my opinion. So I think it will live up to the hype. And I think, you know, everybody wants to watch like an Oregon State game where it's just like touch after touchdown, teams going back and forth. That's not going to happen. But I think maybe the defenses make alternating big plays, which can be exciting also. So, I'm going to say it lives up to whatever hype there's been.
That's what I was going to say. Despite all the game of the millennium stuff or whatever I was joking about at the beginning of the show, it hadn't been that bad. I feel like it is, like you said.
I don't know. Maybe I've just watched ESPN like more this week than the last week. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's bad viewing times. Like, I just turn on, it's like, Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
like,
I
joke about that.
There's been a lot of that, but I don't feel like it's been overwhelming or it's been like an uncontrollable amount.
I think it's been appropriate. I think this is a ridiculously big game.
No, I do too.
I think it's way bigger than that Ohio State Michigan game because while you have the same thing, it's two undefeated teams at the end of the year going for the national championship game. You have the added element of Florida's like quest to be a dynasty. Like they run this off. They're one of the greatest four-year stretch, probably the greatest four-year stretch in college football and maybe college athletics period. And you have one of the greatest players of all time, like playing his last, you know, two games here. Yeah. So I think there's been an appropriate amount of hullabaloo placed on this game.
Right. I didn't want to infer that it was overhyped. Okay. Just did, will the game match like what we were saying?
And, yeah. So I'll go yeah. Yeah.
Yes, because what Kyle said about the defense is alternating big plays. I think, you know, it's going to be an offensive struggle. Offensive ineptitude will be on full display at the beginning of the game, but then the defense is, you know, will keep it exciting and they'll score like 3-yard touchdowns. Big plays for the scores there. But that wraps it up for this show. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. Check us out on iTunes. And Kyle, go ahead.
Well, I got a note on the feedback first. All right, our download reader says that 450 of you, I think, listened to the last show or two before.
Our biggest show has got like 500 downloads.
Well, we can't prove that you're listening, but you're downloading it at least.
That's all I ask for.
And, but even so, let's say 300 of those people are listening on 500. That's more than safe to say. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't believe you. I don't believe the numbers. I don't believe you guys because nobody sends us emails except for, you know, we get like 2 a week or something like that, maybe. So, I'm going to challenge you guys out there. I hope you can respond. Just 50 of you, just respond with nothing. Just a roll call.
Yeah.
Just a here. Yeah. Literally, put here in the subject line. Just your email, here, send it off. No text required. And let's see if we can get 50 of those.
You can be humorous and put present.
Yeah.
You could
be that kid.
It only
yeah.
takes 5 seconds.
It takes 2 seconds. You're probably at your computer already. If you're listening to this, could be on your iPod, though. But you're probably at your computer already. Just shoot off an email. Do it for us.
Yeah. I would be definitely interested to see that because the numbers have been surprising. Like, obviously, I like our listeners and everything. They're downloading this. But I'd like to see the feedback, even just visible proof that it's not like bots or spam machines listening to our podcast or whatever.
Or a photo guy just running around downloading on random computers, which I personally believe is what's happening.
Did you call him photo guy?
Yeah.
Not friend of the podcast, Harrison Diamond?
Nope. I didn't want to name him.
That's what happened, right?
He's going to be way too happy his name's on this podcast now.
All right, Kyle, you had one other thing you wanted to talk about.
I'm not going to be obnoxious about this, but go Ducks. USC had won, what, seven Pac-10 titles in a row, regular season titles,
yeah.
And Oregon broke that streak, as predicted by Kyle and Bobby in the preseason podcast and our preseason predictions in the paper. Couldn't be happier with the Ducks. A lot of doubters after the Boise State fiasco, but I'm just smitten by what went down the Pac-10 this year.
Quack, 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 Mr. Kegler.
Oh, Mighty Ducks references everywhere. I love it. I'm so happy about this show. Thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry.